Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I believe that we have not just sung this song, but that it may be as if we have already spoken to the Lord. Because this songwriter, I'm sure, meant it as if he was talking to God. And we too, whether we sing or pray, we should do everything, I believe, with the awareness that we are talking to Him. I want, God help me, I want to be your own. And that's not just something we say or sing, but I believe it has to come out of the depths, from the depths of our hearts, and it has to be brought before God in truth. We know we are miserable, as we have sung, and sometimes cannot help ourselves, but He is ready to help His own, who come to Him in sincerity and with a bowed heart. He gives them special grace. And so we are grateful that we can be here tonight to once again bring Him honor and praise and worship. I believe, as I said, that we have already spoken to Him. If we have all said these words so earnestly, we have not just spoken into the wind, but we are gathered here before Him. We have come with the awareness that we want to talk to Him, haven't we? Yes. And He wants to talk to us, beloved. And we are so happy and so grateful for that. I would like, before we pray together, read from the Gospel of Luke, perhaps from verse 17 onwards. Luke 10, from verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. These are very precious words that our Lord spoke to his own. And we talked about it a little at home today. We are indeed very grateful to the Lord for this time in which we live. And we have said that if we had lived perhaps 40 years or 50 years back, like many of the great men, like perhaps a Levi Peter and other men, they lived in a time and they were indeed blessed. But when we look back and read about them, we see what grace the Lord has shown us. Then we see how much has been bestowed on us, though such great men, blessed as they were, they did not receive what we received. If we want to put it that way, in the knowledge, in everything, God has done something wonderful, and so it was in those days. The disciples were given something great, something mighty. The Lord says here, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them. And he says, what does he say here? He turned unto his disciples and said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Isn't that something marvelous? Yes, indeed, it is. The eyes were blessed that they could see the salvation promised by the prophets. They were allowed to see, they were allowed to handle. Yes, they were allowed to have fellowship with him. That is something wonderful. And I would like to say that the same is true for us. Perhaps many before us have searched the scriptures and still could not see what God has revealed to us by grace through his servant and prophet. Not merit, grace. Grace from God. Grace through our Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, and then we see the other thing. Even in those days, there were enough people, but it was not revealed to them at all. They heard much about him and saw much, but it was not revealed to them as it was to his own. Is it not the same in our day? Many have heard of the message, but how many has it been revealed to? That is another matter. But praise and thanks be to our God. We can be glad, and we should be thankful that our eyes see and our ears hear what God has prepared for his own in these days. We are so glad. He says here, I like this sentence so much. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And we also want to rejoice in this. That is the point. Dear brothers and sisters, may God have mercy on us, also on this evening and in this hour. I believe we will now stand up to pray together, And then Brother Frank will speak to us. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this day of grace and for this hour of grace and for this time of grace and for this message of grace, for the light that has shone in our days. We thank you that we may participate in this divine cause, in this divine salvation, in this divine light, O Lord. O Jesus, we pray to you this evening, Lord, I want, O God, help me, I want to be your own. Your blood, O Jesus, makes me completely clean. I am eternally yours. Lord, we stand here tonight as your people, as the sheep of your hand. We ask you to take out of us everything that does not mean you, every evil spirit, all malice, all bitterness, everything that cannot stand before you, O Lord. You have spoken to us so mightily, O God. I ask you to have mercy on us, for it is of no use, Lord, if you speak so much, unless we have become a new creation, unless we have become a new creature, redeemed by you, redeemed by your blood, and washed in your blood. Help me, help us, O Lord, that we can distance ourselves from everything, that we can fix our eyes only on you. Lord, we worship you this evening and thank you from the depths of our hearts. Once again, Lord, for the full salvation, for the mighty message, for the light, O God. O Lord, how could we not, Lord? Lord, if we don't do it, who shall do it, Lord? We are your people, the sheep of your hand, Lord. And therefore we worship you and ask you, bless with us, O God, all your people, Lord, in all places, O Lord, in all peoples, in all tongues and nations. O Jesus, we worship you and praise your holy name. We thank you, O God, that we may see that your word is alive. It is true. Hallelujah. But it is also sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. All honor to your glorious name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I am certainly not going to stay here tonight. I was on the operating table for 1.5 hours today, and I'm not feeling well at all. But things have to be done from time to time. The right side here in my mouth has a few stitches, and I can hardly speak properly. But when it comes to giving glory to the Lord, what do we give for all these earthly things? But those who still get it with their teeth know what it is all about. We had a weekend that was significant for me, and I think for all of us. It really is the case that God provides and directs the connections. And as Brother Rus read, it is more true than at any time since the days of Jesus and the apostles, that God has so graciously, so profoundly, so comprehensively revealed and made known his plan of salvation. If that doesn't make us grateful and grip us deep inside, so that we don't just take it in as knowledge, but allow God's Word to work in us. After all, we are like people to whom the Lord has spoken directly through the revelation of His Word and His Spirit. It is not just thoughts that come from some seminary that have been brought about the Word, but divine revelation through the Spirit, revelation of God, revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of His will, His Word, the whole meaning of redemption and everything connected with it has dawned on us in these days as never before. And we ask ourselves, how valuable has all this become to us? No more dogmatism, no more special doctrines or insights, but a direct introduction into the Word, into the will of God. And as surely as the Lord spoke through the prophets, so surely has He spoken to us in the Son. And we have heard God speak, which is why we are blessed. It says, blessed are you, because you hear and see what others have not seen and have not heard. Who was blessed this weekend? Has God's Word spoken to you? May I at least know that? May I ask, which meeting had the most to say to you? Which word was most important to you? Who remembers? Saturday? All of them. All of them. For whom was Saturday evening special? Ah, you wasn't there. And Sunday morning? And what about Sunday afternoon? It has to be like this. We have to participate wholeheartedly in what God gives and benefit spiritually from it. I'm sure I feel the same way as you. You are happy about it, but afterwards you have to be able to delve into it. You have to pursue the matter prayerfully, search the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me. Reveal the context of your word even more. Well, every meeting is there to encounter God. And sometimes this word speaks to us more, sometimes that. It often depends on our condition, but every word speaks to us. It is on my heart that after all this teaching, we could become one heart and one soul, as it was in the beginning, that everyone can love everyone from the heart, and that everyone leaves everyone as they are, without doing anything to them, but that we leave everything to God. We cannot change ourselves. Our intentions cannot. Criticism cannot. We can turn on each other. This shows that we ourselves are not yet transformed, let alone able to transform others. But there must be enough power of God in this Word of God that we have heard so abundantly, to put every promise that we hear, that we read, into practice in us. I have absolutely not the slightest doubt about the salvation of us all. And that I emphasize, in the salvation of us all. Every person who believes with all their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died on the cross of Calvary for our iniquity and sin, and sees in Him the Savior of the soul, and so believes in Him and calls on His name, will be saved. That is the promise of the Word of God. But then it goes even further. Not only saved, not only made believers, but placed in the divine state, in the state of the sons and daughters of God, so that the power of God could then become effective in us and through us. If we all take this word that was read to heart, then we must also pause for a moment, and far be it from me to open any door to unbelief. But here it is, this is how we read it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is a general power. This is not just a partial power, but the Lord has given His own divine authority without limit here, in His name, in His Spirit, in His power, to see exactly the same things that He saw in His ministry. And if we believe this from the bottom of our hearts, it even says, you know. Do we know it? Do you know? Do I know? The Lord presents this as known to all and says, you know. If I were to say today, you know that such and such has happened, then you are familiar with it. You are informed. You know what it is all about. Here the Lord says, you know. There is a lot in these two words. And yet, I ask myself and all of us, have we realized this? Have we accepted it as divine knowledge that goes beyond human concepts and is anchored in the Word of God? You know. This also addresses us this evening. You know that I have given you power. Do we know that? Have we realized that this is the case? There are two things. One, the power to become children of God. This is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He gave all those who received him the power to become children of God, namely those who believe in his name. Now it goes one step further. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not that we run after them, but if we believe, they are to follow us. So, the first thing, power to become children of God. And that is what happened. Then the Lord gave the children of God power over all the power of the enemy. And when he said, it's written here, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. For the Lord, victory was an established fact even before Calvary. Even when Satan, as Isaiah and Ezekiel describe, was thrown down. For the Lord, this was already an established fact. That is why he came to this earth, to free mankind from the power of Satan. And it is necessary for us to realize that we have been placed in this position by God. And deeply saddened, we can only say, Lord, how often have we dishonored you by unbelief? How rarely have we succeeded in honoring you through faith? And I believe that a prayer together will be appropriate, that we can pray as in the early church, Lord, give your servants power to proclaim your word with boldness, stretching out your arm, and let signs and wonders happen, and healings and so on. We live under our privilege. If it were only a human privilege, we wouldn't want to say much about it. But it is a divine privilege for all who have been pardoned by God. But if we live spiritually below this level, deeply below this divine level, should God take great pleasure in us? the disciples, and it almost surprises us. But there were not even the 12, but the 70. And they too were able to report that everything was subject to them. And the Lord said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he was already down. He had not only seen him fall, but had already seen him as having fallen. So for us, that means he is defeated. The enemy is defeated. He will not be defeated first. He is already defeated. And then it goes on to say, but do not rejoice in this. But we come back to this, as we did a long time ago when we read this word. If we can't even rejoice in the first part, how can we rejoice in the second part? And we have heard it often enough that the confirmation of God makes His presence known in the meetings. Without divine legitimation, a sending remains a matter of words. But then, if God can confirm, the question is, who among us expects it? We come here expecting a sermon, and perhaps we can confidently say, it happens according to our faith. God gives us His word. It is no secret to me during the preaching, and I'm sure to Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt, and all the brothers who ever ministered a word, that things light up for us, become great, become clear, are new, which we bring, because we have just received them from God. But may we not go a little further with our expectations? We can expect it. We must expect it. It must become an integral part of the services that the Lord comes into His own, in His speaking, in His working, in every way, with salvation, with healing, with baptism, with spirit and fire. We read it or translated it, whatever. When Brother Branham came to this woman, Hattie Wright, and just said to her, whatever you want, speak out, and it shall be given to you. There sits her sick sister in the wheelchair, the kind of poverty you find a lot in Mexico, in Latin America too, but not all that often in the USA. Such poverty in the home, the parents are elderly, and the two sons go their own ways. And suddenly the mother says, I want my two sons to be saved. And spontaneously, the answer comes, I give them to you. And they were saved. And then Brother Branham says this little sentence, and they were instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It went through my heart. A biblical conversion is just like that. And we have to get used to it, not an unbiblical conversion. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to be left behind. We want to be part of the first fruits. And I believe that if God makes all this effort and reveals His word and His will to us, then it is for a very great purpose. If we are destined to be the word bride in these last days, then the word or the sermon is not empty words, but words filled with the power and Spirit of God. And when these words penetrate us, something happens. Then God reveals Himself in us. Then what is written in John 7, perhaps verse 37, is fulfilled. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I said earlier that the first thing is the promise to all those who received Him and believed in His name. To them He gave power to become children of God. To those who have become children of God, He gave power for service. Power coupled with faith, divine authority based on the Word, quickened by the Spirit, made alive. And then we just wait for the Lord to give us the inspiration to do what He wants done. May nobody think that if a person has faith, that he can then start running back and forth. Who was it? I think it was Peter who prayed for the man. And it says, when he looked at him and realized that he had faith, he said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. It wasn't guessing, it was divine inspiration. And every time, as I have also experienced several times, when this divine inspiration can come, then you are beyond doubt, not exalted. That wouldn't be the right word for it. But at the moment when God's Word produces divine inspiration in us through the Spirit, God is the one who acts, and we are the vessels that He uses. And that should be our prayer as a church. Lord, You have spoken to us, revealed Your word and Your will to us. You have given us power to become children of God, for we believe in Your name, which is above every name. Then You promised us, wait, tarry, until ye are endued with power from on high. Here the Lord says, I have given You power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt You. We can say with 100% certainty as with Job, that even if God gives us over to the enemy for the purpose of a test, he will not be able to harm our souls. On the contrary, our soul will be anchored even more firmly in the living God. Who among you still remembers the life story of Brother Branham? The despair the man was in when he was shot through both legs and lay in hospital for about 12 hours without help, and nobody knew whether he would survive or not. And then he had his experiences. He went down to hell and also up to glory. Just during the time of this terrible trial. And if such an experience can later be reported to others, then all the pain was worth it, all the suffering, all the tears, and everything that went with it. But it must have been even worse when he took his revolver, loaded it, held it to his temple, and pulled the trigger to take his own life. Satan had tried everything there was to try. And when he then hurled this pistol into the air, without pulling the trigger again, the shot went off by itself. And he had no choice but to fall back on his face and say, "Lord, here I am." Sometimes I would prefer that no one knew what hardships people have to go through when God has called them to a ministry, to a task. And if I could hide it, be it in my face, in my walk, or whatever, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But God always succeeds in one thing: to lead us through the most difficult trials for the sake of His word, for the sake of His name, for the sake of His honor. But what does He want to achieve? He wants to make us capable, as one songwriter sings, through all this fear and hardship. In the Lord's time, those who did not believe Him lived gloriously and joyfully, and those who followed Him were filled with sorrow. They had to take shame and all sorts of things upon themselves and endure them. Beloved, God wants us to know tonight, I have called you out and redeemed you, given you power to become children of God, because you believed in my name. Then he wants us to know, I gave you then, when you became my people, my children, power over all the power of Satan, and he will not be able to harm you in any way. Our soul is redeemed. The enemy cannot touch it. And it should be our prayer that God comes down with His presence, but that we expect it. God will never be able to do more than we expect of Him. how great is your and my expectation before the Lord our God today. May He bless us and also place this word deep within us, so that everyone from the first to the last could say, Lord, I believe that you have given me power to become a child of God. Lord, now I have become one by grace. Now I need power over all the power of the enemy. And that is precisely where I and all of us are lacking. But the first way to reach the goal is to recognize it and come to God and say, Lord, here we are. There is no one among us who feels strong, but you are the strong one, the Almighty One, who spoke the universe into existence. You are still the same today. And so, we will come before His face, also with these prayer requests here, that we will also bring to the Lord. But let us pray. Prayer will serve to enable God to grasp us inwardly, because through the preaching He speaks to us, and then we speak to Him. May God bless us all. Amen. We thank you together this evening for your irrevocable, eternally valid word, which you have called out to your own and left behind forever. Beloved Lord, we have lived beneath our privilege, my God. The days of restitution are here. Faithful God, let us experience that we have two powers. Power to have become children of God. Power as children of God to face the enemy in your name, and to have your victory within us. Oh, we worship you, Lord, because you meant what you said. It is still true today. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful and holy name. You have people who believe you, who trust you, who speak to you, because you have spoken to them. Take us all, O God. Take the reproach from us and from your name, and crown us with mercy and loving kindness. May every promise you have made find fulfillment. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.